I have always envied the true atheists for the sheer clarity of their philosophy. No God, just humanity and the rest of the world. No heaven, no hell. You live, you die. End of story. Talk about clarity. What a great relief it must be to atheists to know so definitively that this material life is all that anyone ever gets. What great joy to see every day as the complete fulfillment of one's own life story. And what great responsibility inherent in a philosophy that rests fully on humankind's shoulders. As a philosophy undergraduate at Montana State University in Bozeman, Montana, I read books by all the great Western philosophers: Kant, Kierkegaard, Hegel, Heidegger, Freud, Nietzsche, Marx, Spinoza, and many, many more. Having been raised on a cattle ranch, learning about men and women who wrestled with big ideas simply made me want to read more. I literally couldn't get enough of this stuff. I devoured works of classic philosophy. And the discussions that we had in our philosophy seminars were some of the most interesting conversations I had ever had in my life. These classes taught me to wrestle with the big ideas for myself. It was in these classes that I discovered atheism. Friedrich Nietzsche and Karl Marx changed my life. To my young mind, Nietzsche wrote utter blasphemy, and Marx, well, Marx called for revolution. These are not the things that most rural Montanans are talking about. But both Marx and Nietzsche dreamed of a world that did not need religion. Nietzsche told us in no uncertain terms that God is dead, God remains dead, and we have killed him. And Marx likened all religion to an opiate of the masses. Strong stuff for a young person raised in a religious home. But such learning went hand in hand with the rebelling I was already doing by simply being at the university. So I ate up Marx and Nietzsche too. And then I got to thinking about what it would really mean if there were no God. I got to thinking about how an atheist might see the world, and that was pretty sobering, if you think about it. For a godless universe requires so much more of humans than a God-filled one. A godless universe is one vast food chain with humankind at the top of it. The only thing that distinguishes humankind from the rest of the universe is our knowing right from wrong and our ability to do something about it. We are burdened with morals and ethics. To be an atheist in 2014 is to know firsthand how horrific the world is and to be personally responsible for changing it. Wow. Now there is a tough spiritual practice. In an article on atheism in the Christian Century, religion professor John F. Haught writes, "If you're going to be an atheist, the most rugged version of godlessness demands complete consistency. Complete consistency. Go all the way and think the business of atheism through to the bitter end. This means that before you get too comfortable with the godless world you long for, you will be required, by the logic of any consistent skepticism, to pass through the disorienting wilderness of nihilism." Do you have the courage for that? He asks. To continue, he says, "Before settling into a truly atheistic worldview, you will have to experience the Nietzschean madman's sensation of straying through infinite nothingness. You will be required to summon up an unprecedented degree of courage if you plan to wipe away the whole horizon of the transcendent. Are you willing to risk madness? If not, then you are not really an atheist." Are you willing to risk madness? What madness is he talking about? We who enjoy a certain standard of living are shielded from the harsher side of reality most of the time. We do not see the slaughter involved in the meat that we buy at the grocery store. Our skin does not burn from the pesticides that covered the crops growing in the fields. We do not wake in the night as immigration officials raid our migrant work camp, threatening to deport us. We do not sweat with the women and girls who sit hunched over all day in foreign factories making the clothes that we wear. We do not trudge in and out of mines with the men and boys who labor to unearth the rare metals that our computers require. And this is to say nothing of war. It is to say nothing of starvation. It is to say nothing of human rights abuses. Yet most of us worry more about the stock market than we worry about the 2/3 of the world that lives on less than $2 a day. And yet it is not just those in poverty far away that suffer. Are you willing to risk madness? Are you willing to risk the madness that comes with knowing that your neighbor beats his wife? The madness that comes with knowing the teenage girl next door has an eating disorder? The madness that comes with knowing that there is nothing you can do to stop cancer? The madness that comes with feeling yourself slip day by day deeper into a debilitating depression, deeper into an addiction, deeper into despair? This is the nihilism of which John F. Haught speaks in his article. It is the nihilism that the atheists among us must face head on. As a fan of the old school atheists, I was keenly interested to see three new school atheists appear on the scene a few years ago. They made a bit of a stir in the religion world. I was excited to see if Marx and Nietzsche could be improved upon for the 21st century. Surely there was a new, more modern way to live one's atheism in a complex and troubling world. Surely Sam Harris and Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens could breathe new life into the philosophy of godlessness, or could they? I read with keen interest numerous articles about their approaches to atheism, and I read parts of each of their books. While entertaining, I found that each of these thinkers were lacking in one substantial way. They were lacking because they had no convincing way of dealing with the nihilism that happens once religion has been removed. They seemed unwilling or unable to tackle the hardest question of all. Without God or religion, how do we make sense of a brutal world? I know that when I find myself despairing for the state of the world, one of the things that comforts me most is to know that I am not alone. The realization that throughout all time, any measure of goodness that has been known in this world was the direct result of good actions by men, women, and children. This is what allows me to be an agent for the good myself. In my own somewhat muddled theology, I don't really know who or what is God, but I do know that God has no hands but our hands. And in this regard, the atheists and I are not very far apart at all. I may be comforted by the idea that there is a force in the universe that ties it all together, but I have not deluded myself enough to think that this force changes the laws of physics or messes with the natural order of things. Yes, much of the world is brutal, and much of it is beautiful. And no, God is not going to magically change things through some supernatural power. If anything, God for me is the inspiration to act. One of my favorite cartoons shows a Catholic priest greeting people at the door of his church after Mass. The cartoon depicts a smiling middle-aged man shaking hands with the priest. In the caption bubble above the priest's head, we see him say, "I don't think I've ever met a non-practicing atheist." When you think about it, the cartoon is funny on a number of levels. What would a non-practicing atheist do? Go to church, of course, right? It would be the only solution. One of the things I'm most proud about in Unitarian Universalism is that we accept people wherever they are in their theological beliefs, that atheists can attend this church and find meaning here is one of the many miracles of our congregation. The priest's reaction is similar to the reaction other people have when I explain that in Unitarian Universalist churches, atheism is as welcome as is belief. You can see that it doesn't really add up for them. Why would an atheist go to church, they ask? Why would they be involved with a religious organization? Why would they bother? I just smile and assure these people that we get along just fine in UU congregations, atheists, agnostics, heretics, and believers alike. We peacefully coexist because our church's mission doesn't require us to all believe the same thing. And I hope that never changes. It's probably a good thing for humankind that the question of God's existence will never be definitively decided. Since we cannot prove whether there is or isn't a God, or even what the nature of God might be, we must keep wrestling with these matters in every generation, with every new scientific discovery, with every new thinker. This wrestling keeps us alive and engaged with life. I admire true atheists. I want to make sure that there is always room for them in this congregation. And I think that we can all learn much from one another. For it is brave to live with eyes wide open in a godless world. It is daring to declare that there is nothing beyond what science can discover, and then to have to work to make the world a better place. Atheism is the toughest spiritual path that I know of, and I respect those who walk this path. As a Unitarian Universalist minister, I wind up doing a lot of atheist funerals, and I actually quite like them. But for the family, they can be a particular challenge at times. At times, a person's family is very invested in reconciling him or her to God even after they have died. But a funeral is not a place to rewrite a person's spiritual convictions, and I would much rather state clearly and directly that the person did not believe in God, and leave it at that. For it really matters little in this life what we believe. What matters is how we respond to life, in its beauty and in its horror. It matters what we do.